2 minutes. Has anyone got a really burning question? And don't ask me where I put my money.
we know where to put our money.
I think I can only encourage people to get the material, get this DVD, look at it again, get the material that's out in the book table, and so forth. A lot of the material is written in past New Citizens as well.
Actually, I do have an announcement to make. This is a development following on from the question I asked Professor Tolaroya earlier about, is Russia going to join the AIIB? I think your answer was, we'll see. So there's just been an announcement made, and it's just happened apparently, at the Bao Forum in Asia, where Russian Deputy Prime Minister Igor Shuvalov has announced, quote, "I would like to inform you about the decision to participate in the AIIB. He added that Russia welcomes China's Silk Road Economic Belt Initiative and is happy about stepping up cooperation. We are delighted to be able to step up cooperation in the format of the Eurasian Economic Union and China. The free movement of goods and capital within the EEU brings economies of Europe and Asia closer. This is intertwined with the Silk Road Economic Belt Initiative launched by the Chinese leadership." So that's just happened. How long's the tea break?
We've got 10 minutes of questions.
All right. Okay, if you've got some questions, ask them now.
Come up to the microphone here, if you could, please.
John.
I was wondering, like, you had a few chats to Malcolm before he passed away, and I'd gathered he wasn't a big fan of the whole nationalising the bank things in 1945. Did you ever get a sense from whatever anyone had said to Malcolm whether he'd reassess that, or was it just this anti-socialist thing he had going? Did he ever expand and develop on his national banking thesis?
Not really, because our meetings were fairly short and sweet.
Sure.
I knew, because if you know the history of Malcolm Fraser, he was a young man when he entered Parliament at the time of Menzies.
Yeah.
So, of course, his outlook was very much shaped by Sir Robert Menzies. And there was this real line that what Chifley had tried to do with bank nationalisation was communism, effectively, right? Socialism. So he always rejected that out of hand. But, when you marry, when you look at his intention later, what he advocated in terms of economic policy, it's interesting, his justification for the dismissal, for playing so hard on the dismissal, is a little bit similar to his justification for the Vietnam War, in that he was responding to, I would say, a setup that he didn't recognise, right? He recognised that later about the Vietnam War. There was a lot of all the fear mongering about the Red Menace was overblown.
That's how it's happening about Reagan and Central America.
Yeah, well,
you have to go in there.
So he was looking at this new Whitlam government. And the two things that alarmed him was there was a 40% jump in federal government spending in 1 year, 40%, which is a lot by anyone's measure. Well, no, there was an intention that it should be, and then there was this Kemlani loans affair, right? So unfortunately, the details of that gets lost in the hype, the media hype at the time. On the face of it, the Kemlani loans affair was a scandal if it was true. It wasn't overly true. Craig read the key quote just then from Jim Cairns, which was that he said all our spending on these projects could have come from the Reserve Bank, but that was never a political option, so we had to explore other sources of funding. And it was, and if he, in a funny way, if he had been able to convince someone like Fraser that here is a mechanism of credit that doesn't involve going and doing shady deals with some Pakistani guy, right, then Fraser might have been more understanding, because he actually says all along, the reason he became friends with Whitlam afterwards was he supported Whitlam's programs. He liked the idea of a pipeline and all these things. It's just that there was such a scandal about the shady financial dealings, and it was never necessary. And we did the last interview with Jim Cairns before he died, where he in his own words, he talked about how he knew they could have resorted to issuing their own credit, but he also knew that Labor by then was so scared on this issue of credit because of what had happened to Chifley. They weren't prepared to go there. So only he and a few others argued for it, and it never went anywhere.
Does anyone else have another question?
I'm a little bit confused regarding Egypt. On the one hand, they've joined BRICS. And about 10 days ago or so, they've accepted a gift. I believe it's a gift. But Saudi and Emirates have joined forces to give Egypt $20 billion. Now, whether it's going to be over a couple of years, I don't know. But anyway, that's what I understand. Now, why I'm getting confused is this. Does that mean that Egypt has sold their sovereignty to the imperialists? And also, does that mean that you can join BRICS without borrowing money, and that you can sit on two chairs? I mean, it's a bit not clear cut here, and I'd just like that clarified.
It's not here. It's not true to say that Egypt has joined BRICS, as Professor went through this morning. There is only five nations of BRICS, and they're working out ways that the routine by which new members will be admitted. Egypt has done deals with the BRICS countries for economic development, right? That's the status of Egypt. Egypt is a country that the single greatest source of the internal strife in Egypt has been its economy, right? And so they're trying very hard to rectify that. They have, you know, an 80 million population, very large youth population, unemployed, etc. And so when they've embarked on projects like the Second Suez Canal, there's been an emphasis on getting the youth to work, etc. And so they've done those kinds of deals with the BRICS countries in that spirit. But the Middle East is a very complicated place, so it's never something that I think you should, you know, based on new developments, overly interpret. There is a general intention. I mean, our view is that the economic intention is admirable. There's certainly also some good qualities in the social area that the President El-Sisi has expressed, but, you know, it isn't a perfect situation by any means. And some countries, like the Saudis, the basis of their influence is throwing money around, and it's hard to say no to sometimes. Oh, yeah. We'll have a presentation by Hossein Askari on Egypt tomorrow, so you can actually ask him specifically on that. Oh, sorry, no, he won't be live, will he? It's a video presentation from Denmark, Copenhagen, Sweden.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that as we're going through my presentation, I mean, you may have heard how Egypt has funded the Second Suez Canal. It's been through subscribing or getting people within Egypt to buy their debt bonds. They're internally funded, right? Exactly like we did during the World War I and World War II, right? The government decided to take a sovereign stand. We're going to mobilise the credit of the nation to build this project so we're not beholden to the World Bank or IMF or so forth. And I tell you, there's a lot of very happy people to hear about that in Australia, because as soon as we told them that, oh, that's like our old Commonwealth Bank. It's what we did. And that's the point. Yeah, non-tradable bonds. Yeah. So they have staying in Huskara, as Robbie said, will be speaking to us live by, well, on video, but he's still alive, he's not, right? But he'll be giving us that background tomorrow, okay?
I think we should.
Is there any more questions? Anyone burning questions? Can you come up to...
My name is Costa Goumas. The question I have to ask is, why Greeks? They're so slow to make a decision to join the BRICS and change Europe in a quicker way. Why are they so slow?
I'm not Greek, you are.
Costa, it's also complicated. And, you know, they did not... Cyprus and the Syriza party, they're trying to fulfil their election promises. One of their election promises was not to break from the euro. That's an option which we think they should take. But again, Professor Tolaroya went through this morning that as of right now the BRICS, we're more talking about an intention to go in that direction. Because there's not a formal mechanism for joining the BRICS right now, but they need to start making those steps eastward, and that means realizing, in my view, if they give up this idea of the euro, that's the first step, right? Return to the drachma, assert their own sovereign control over their internal finances. They can issue internal credit, and they will be supported strategically, definitely by some of the BRICS countries. I would say, Dr. Tolaroya talked about that the BRICS should include a Muslim country and a European country. Well, I reckon Greece should be the first candidate from Europe to be a member of the BRICS. But, you know, it's a process. Certainly, though, the good news is last year in October, I attended the Schiller Institute conference in Germany, and I got to meet Pamos Kamenos, it was before the election. He's now the defence minister in the new government. And this was a BRICS conference in Germany that he participated in. So I think the ideas will certainly be getting stronger in that direction.
Just, Professor, do you have any comment? Please, just take the podium.
I just want to stress that I've noted there's many aspirants, many countries who desire to join BRICS, but certainly Greece is too small an economy to do this, to be accepted as a member. And besides, of course, we have very difficult relations with Europe now, although there is some kind of ideas circulating in Germany, which would be probably a feasible candidate for BRICS, because it's big, it has biggest economy, and because it's a big regional power. But I don't see that happen in the future. But there is also a sort of movement called Euro-BRICS, which is, well, a civil movement which will advocate the closer relation between Russia, between BRICS countries and Europe and European Union joining in this or that form the BRICS activities. And so this is one of the ideas which may be considered. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Morris.
Denison Miller, I didn't get whether when he died in 1924, perfectly healthy and supposed to be poisoned, and then Otto Niemeyer came in and took it over. So that was one that died. Harold Holt with Arthur Crosby and Rex Connor started to look at banking. Good swimmer, and he died. Holmes of Court, another fella, very healthy, and he died. Just how sick was Malcolm Fraser?
I'll let that one stand, Morris.